Amen. So this morning I'm going to talk about change, transition, and traditions, because we are going through a change. Today we're going to license four people from this church that are moving, some of them moving from one license to another, and then one person just receiving a license for the first time because of the changes that we're going to have taking place here at the church regarding the youth ministry. And as a result of that, what I'd like to do is call up those people and have them share with you what they're going to be doing. Then I'm going to give a message, and after the message, we'll be praying for them to license them. And so with that, I would ask Jeff and Leah to come up, Michelle and Jamie Krushke, and I believe Mark will be helping you, so Mark should come with you. Michelle Mack can come with you too. I believe he's helping you. And who am I missing? Stephanie Roberts, come up. Amen. I want them each to take a few minutes to share what they're going to be doing. I don't want to share about the past. I only want to share about the future, okay? I'm going to deal with the past when I speak. But I want you to share about what you plan on doing with the ministry that you take in charge of. And I believe you're already kind of taking charge, right? We've switched over, or does it happen this week? August 1st. See, I told you I don't know everything going on around here. All right, so I wanted them to share what they plan on doing. And I'm going to talk a little bit about how change occurs and how we adjust to change. But before we do that, I wanted them to tell you a little bit about what they're going to be doing. So we'll start with you, Stephanie.
Good morning, everyone. Well, for me, my position isn't changing. I'm still going to be the children's pastor like I am, still loving your kids. I'm praying and believing for a change, though, because I want to see signs, miracles, and wonders in our kids. And I know how important it is that kids become saved and that they have a faith on their own without their parents or their children's leaders before they're 12. And so I'm believing that each child in my ministry will get to know Jesus as their personal Savior. And that's my plan.
Well, I had something prepared, but I just felt like all these years, and we're just coming out of the last week of the Republican convention and everything, and I'm like, I accept this nomination. So, you know, break the ice a little. But I first, with that though, it's not just necessarily what Mark and I are stepping into. It's really, I also want to say thank you to my children for what they've done and being here today. I'd give it to you, but you don't say it.
All right. For me, Jamie and I, we did Sunlight 15 years ago together. The rest of the time since then, I've been a supporter, bouncing ideas and just a background support, which I'm good at that. So this is going to be a very new adventure for me, stepping out again into ministry with Jamie. I have no idea where it's going to take us or where it's going to take me. I know it's going to stretch me, but I also know that that's good. So we'll see what happens, put it in God's hands, and we'll roll with it.
Amen. All right, now that I've got my composure, amen, he said a few words. The reason being is because he is a man of the background, and he is so stable and so strong that sometimes he's my rock above the rock, and he is my support. There's so much things, as well as my children, they have been my support as well. But for him to be able to join with me now is amazing, because God has amazing things for him as well, and I get to witness that. But we want to continue what has been going on for the 20-some years of a wonderful senior high youth ministry. And we want to make it sure that the youth know that it's your ministry. It's not the Jamie Show. It's not the Mark and Jamie Show. It's yours. And we want to make sure you know your voice is being heard. You will plan the events. You will plan the food. You will work it. You will run that ministry. That when you become young adults, you know what to do. When you go off to college, you know the answers that you already are going to be facing. You already have those answers in your heart and in your spirit, because that is what we want to focus on, is building you up to be the best young adults to go into the world. That is dark, but you will be continuing to bring the light to everybody. And yes, I know I'm preaching right now to this section, but it's really interesting because I had them in Sunday school. I had them in Sunlight. I had them in junior high. And God says, you are a transition minister and is going to transition with them. I'm not going to have you in adulthood. I'll pray for you. No, I know. I said that 2 years ago. We love you, and we are so excited to hear what your plans are that you want for your ministry.
I'm very excited about this. Michelle and I did VBS for 4 years. And it was a lot of fun. The cool thing is all those children that we had in Awana are right there. And the cool thing for me is that I get to do this with my wife. She is an amazing speaker. She spoke at a lot of women's conferences, which I'm still getting over with, because a lot of times it was during my birthday, and Pastor Sharon just told me to suck it up. My birthday week. In our household, we have birthday weeks, not just a birthday. So hers has officially started today. Her birthday is on Thursday. Friday. So I'm very excited to share this with her. I've had the opportunity to help Jeff and Leah in youth and do some things with them, and I think it's helped me a lot, and I'm very appreciative of everything that you guys have done and helped me with. I've had the worship team and so forth, but it's to be able to plan messages and plan events with her, and for us to tag team this together is a huge honor. So we were kind of talking about what our vision for the youth would be for the junior high, and we really feel like we want to prepare them to be themselves, to be individuals, to be able to go into their schools and say, this is who I am, this is what I represent, not falling into cliques or groups or things like that, but to also really know who they are in Christ and to be able to share that with their friends and be a light in a time where it's very dark right now, and to prepare them for growing up and going through middle school and into high school, because we've all been there. They're not easy times for kids and teenagers, and they're big changes. So that's where we really feel like where we're headed, and we'll trust God with everything else.
I guess it's passed to me. technically, we're going into the young adult ministry, moving out of the senior high, and we are a little bit homeless with our ministry, kind of, but we know that we've got a home in process, and we're in the middle of huge transition from moving from Minneapolis to Eden Prairie. Yay! After all these years, driving all those miles. But anyhow, God has been really good. I love doing the youth. I love doing the high school. It was awesome. And it was really hard for me to say goodbye to them Wednesday, they know. But we know we're supposed to move on. We know that this is where we're supposed to be. And we have a huge vision for the young adult ministry. That's actually where I started out at in college. I started out in young adult doing it and actually being a partner minister with somebody else at Kearney State University that's in Nebraska. So this is not like a new venture for me. I've done it before. But we are planning on doing some major outreaches. young adults love to have fun, and we do too, but Jeff can't torture them anymore. Sorry, Jeff. He loves to torture the youth. But anyhow, so, but we are planning on some amazing outreaches. We're planning on some amazing fellowships and some retreats. I know that that's something that they want, and that's something that we want for them. Our focus is going to be on really maturing up and actually becoming financially responsible, friendship or relationship responsible, and that includes opposite sex relationships. And so we've got a lot that we have already brewing in our heads, and I'm sure Jeff can add a little bit more to this.
Yeah. Well, it's really been a God thing. I mean, 2 years ago, we really felt it was time to move. And so we really were praying about what we were going to do and what was going to happen, how it was going to happen. And there has been a house across the street from Scott and Marisol's that every time we drop sent, really good friends, Scott and Marisol. And there's this house across the street, and we'd go, boy, that'd just be an awesome house to live in. And it's kind of English style, French. It's a French country home. And it has happened to where the son has had to move the mom into a retirement home, and he came over, and Sammy's been mowing the lawn, and he came over to Scott, and he says, hey, man, I just don't know how I'm going to sell this house. And Scott goes, I got a couple for you. And so we've been in touch with him, and we're working out the deal, and we're working out selling our house in Minneapolis, and it's just a God thing. The value of the pricing of what we're getting the house for here versus what we're going to be selling our house, it definitely is God's timing. We definitely know that. So, but if anybody wants to come help paint at our existing house, help us. We're trying to get it up for sale as fast as possible. So we are going to do young adults. It's from 18 to 30, and we're going to be doing it at Scott and Marisol's house on Wednesday nights, 7 o'clock. And that will start the first Wednesday, yeah, August 3rd. So the first Wednesday night will be at Scott and Marisol's. No, it won't.
No, remember they have a wedding.
Oh, they have a wedding. That's right. We forgot about that wedding. Well, I forgot. Of course I did. I forget dates. So anyway, so if you're 18 to 30, come and talk to us. We'll give you the rest of the details about who, what, when, where, why. But we have some incredible things that we're going to be doing and that we're going to get you guys going and get you start ministering for God in Eden Prairie.
All right.
I just want to make a few comments, and then Scott and Maria, why don't you come and share for a little bit. Stephanie, I just want you to know that there is a man and a woman in this house that's instilled in her a love for kids. That's her mom and dad. Would you stand? How many years did you do children's ministry? Over 30 years he was faithful in children's ministry. Isn't that amazing? And here's this little young daughter who is just as faithful. So we are blessed to have such a really wonderful children's pastor. Really excited. A lovely family, good husband, great kids. So bless you all. And Jamie and Mark, we're thrilled they are going to take on the senior high now, because they're going to work together, but we felt it was time to shift. And we almost shifted this earlier, but I just felt the timing was off. And I'm so glad that Jeff shared the timing is on, because we would have done this a little sooner. But this God has a perfect timing. And I learned a long time ago, we don't rush God. We move right behind him. When he speaks, we move. When he speaks, we move. You know, that's how it works. And Michelle and Matt, they did a wonderful job with Awana. Excellent, marvelous. And I know Matt's heart has been with the youth for how many years, Matt? Long, long time, yeah. Huh? Yeah, you've always had that. Yeah, he's been a youth his whole life.
Kudos to me.
Yeah, right. So we're happy to have these two, and I know they're going to do a very good job, very organized and a great job. And Jeff and Lee have been with, is it 13 or 16 years? 13 years they have been running the teens. I have weathered lots of storms with them. We've gone through good things and bad things, but they've been mostly good. Because, you know, when you work with teenagers, you get all kinds of issues. that you deal with. You have all kinds of people. It goes up and it goes down. So it's been a blessing. Jeff has put together a video that you can watch at the end of the service today if you want to stay at the end to watch it for the last 13 years of teen ministry. And I think it might be kind of fun for you to see all that they've done and all that's happened. We were going to have it upstairs with coffee and cookies, but I guess it doesn't show up as well. So anyway, there is coffee and cookies after tonight or after the service, so you can go upstairs after the video or just after the service, whichever you choose. So we're grateful for these two. This has been a long time. There are things that Jeff created for the teens that I think were crazy. All right, I mean, a horse that's made out of all kinds of wires and whatever. Only he with his brain could do something like that. And then it went up and down or something, didn't it? Yeah. A mechanical bull. Okay, made a mechanical bull. You know, only teens would love all this stuff. You know, I look at it and I think, oh, my God, liability. How are we going to do this? The kids are going to be okay. We had, what are they called? Zip lines and all kinds of things. So they've done a great job. So we're excited that they're moving to young adults because I think the young adults will like all that crazy stuff. What do you think? I think so, too. Amen. So anyway, you guys can sit down. Thank you so much. Scott, Maria, come on up. These two are officially letting go of young adults, but I know they're still going to have young adults hanging around. But I just wanted to publicly thank them for, how many years have you done young adults? Since he was a baby. Since he was a baby. 14. Oh, God, stand up, see how big you are now. Look at this kid. Huh? They've done a great job and have been very supportive. And one thing I know about them, they always tell me things. I always know what's going on. And they've been a blessing. So I want you two to just share a little bit, maybe whatever you'd like to say.
It's been an honor and a privilege to be able to do young adult ministry. There's a lot of amazing young adults in this church right now that we got to walk with over the last 14 years. And we're so proud of all of you because you're amazing people of God. And you're married now, a lot of you, and you got kids, and you're doing it really well. You're being really godly parents. And so it's been such a privilege to not only do a ministry, but to build relationships that I hope will last the rest of our lives. We consider those young adults that were part of the beginning of this with us, we consider you our friends, we consider you our family, and so we hope you don't decide you want to disown us because we've really appreciated the great blessing that each of you have been in our lives. It's been a lot of fun. We've had deliverance conferences, we've gone to India, Africa, we've done mime and dances and done a lot of different things with some amazing people of God, and we're not going to stop being available and involved in what people need us to do. We've enjoyed doing a lot of marriage, but we started out like teaching them how to do finances and helping them get inner healing and deliverance, and then it went to helping them get married and stuff, and so it's been fun. Do you have things you want to add or share or say?
I'm suddenly feeling the Mark anointing. And I also, for some reason, feel like a call to make music out of garbage. So I'll probably continue in the deliverance ministry.
The other thing that some of you don't know is that over the last few years, God's really been calling us to be very diligent in our business. And I remember when Charles Dixon came 15 years ago, and he prophesied over me, and I thought, oh my goodness, this guy seems like he's right, but this seems so wrong what he's saying to me. Because I grew up in the church and in drama, and so I thought I would just be doing drama and church stuff, and I never, ever saw myself doing anything with business. And he prophesied that I was getting some really big shoes given to me and that I was going to grow into them, and he said entrepreneur anointing and business and stuff. And it was so, for those of you that have received prophetic words that felt like it didn't fit, but part of your spirit was like, you know, so this is what's been happening for us over the last few years especially, is that God's been really putting a lot on our plate in terms of business. We have childcare schools. We've been blessed with that family-owned business for 30 years now. Him and his sister started it. And so we have three schools. And what the Lord has put on our hearts the last couple years is that we're supposed to start really doing significant ministry through the schools. They're not Christian schools. I talked to Pastor Sharon about that when I first came on board in the company, and she said, Maria, you'll reach a lot more people if you don't put that label on it and just let whosoever will come, come. And she's right. She's always right. She's always been right, because she listens to God, and then God tells her what to say. And so be praying with us, because we have a tremendous opportunity to reach families that don't come to church. And there have been a lot. When I was on the women's minister retreat in Florida, there were two different families in that same week and a half where one of the parents committed suicide. And they were brand new families to our school. And so there's a lot of things that families are going through, and marriages are falling apart, and because they don't know Jesus. They don't have what we have. And so we're going to be starting bookstores. A lot of the young adults that have been with us for the last 14 years that are now married with kids and stuff, a lot of them are going to be helping me with graphic design and setting up the stores and stuff. We're going to have books on parenting, books on marriage, gifts for kids' birthday parties. And I'm going to start doing like a book of the month club, where parents can sign up to read, a Cloud and Townsend book or a James Dobson classic, or, you know, something that's people of God that really have wisdom to give that's timeless. And we're going to just do what we can to bring people together to learn about parenting, learn about marriage, and spread the gospel. So pray for us. We'll need help with it. If any of you are good at that kind of stuff, running a bookstore and doing evangelism within a marketplace situation, we're going to be hitting the streets and trying to get people to. So hopefully, we got that section now. A few years back, we said we got to fill this section. So we're going to have to just build our new building. Because you're going to start seeing a whole bunch of new people come to Res Life, because we're going to go get them in the marketplace. And if anybody wants to help me, but for sure be praying, because it's a lot of work. We got three locations and a whole lot of families that hopefully will start coming here. And they're going to need all of you to help them with everything. But we're going to help them come to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen.
Thank you, dear. That was great. They'll continue to do pre-marriage, marry people, work with parenting, and there was one? And drama.
Yeah, that was the thing. I've had a vision, and I'm going to say it to you guys because you're safe, right? Look at the neighbor next to you and say, you're safe, right? I've had a vision of writing a really cool drama, like a musical drama, that y'all got to be in and help me with, and putting posters up in our bookstores and inviting people to come and see this really cool drama. So stay tuned, get ready. Don't hide from me, because I think something cool and fun is coming we can do together.
Amen, amen. Well, if you want to open your Bibles to Ezra chapter 3, we're going to talk about change, transition, and tradition. Now, I'm not going to talk real long, but we'll talk for a little bit here. It said, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord, according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel. Then all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. So I want you to see that they were pretty happy with all this. Let's continue. But many of the priests and Levites and heads of the father's houses, old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this temple was laid before their eyes. Yet many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the sound was heard afar off. What I want you to see in this particular scripture is there was change occurring. The old temple was not going to be the temple anymore, and a new temple was being built. And so there were mixed emotions. Some people were happy, some people were sad. And it's the truth that happens in a church, is some changes people like, some people don't like. And there's mixed emotions. Would you look at your neighbor and say, there are mixed emotions? Sometimes those things feel good, sometimes they don't feel so good. Leah alluded to that when she said that it was sad, because she knew that maybe that was her last Texas Bible Institute, or she knew that she was leaving this group of kids and going to another one. And I'm sure for the others as well, I think it was Jamie also said that, Maria, when you leave one thing and go to the next, it's your heart that says, gee, that's really hard to do, but it's also your heart that says, this is exciting, because something new is happening. So grieving the loss of the old doesn't mean you're betraying the new. Or being excited about the new doesn't mean you're betraying the old. You know, sometimes people think, well, they didn't care about what we did, but that's not true. They do. In 1 Corinthians 13:11, Paul was forced to what we call grow up. He said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, or I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And so what happens when we grow up, we begin to change with the things we have to change with. And even as I was watching these conventions and I'm looking at the election and all this stuff going on, these people liking this and people not liking that, and I'm asking myself, how many are actually adjusting to the fact the world is changing? And I think it's very important for all of us to realize that there's a spiritual change and there's a natural change. Some of us have to adjust to those changes. For example, for me, the computer is just whatever. I mean, I look at that computer and sometimes I've got Facebook down, I've got email down, I've got Google down, I've got a couple other apps I've figured out, but boy, the rest, it's totally murky for me. And I'm trying, I'm really trying, but you have to understand at my age, whenever we were taught, we understood what we were taught. A computer is out there. And I'm thinking, well, who's getting this information, and what are they doing with this information, and where is it going, and where did it come from, and how did they know that, and how do they know they want to be my friend? I don't even know those people. You know, so I've got all these things going on in my brain that I'm trying to adjust to because it's a change. It's a transitional thing that is occurring, and it's not like I can't close the computer and say, I never want to look at you again, because if I do that, the world will go by. I'll be 80 years old, and I'll go, huh? What happened? You know, so we can't do that. We have to adjust to the changes. Phone systems. It's the same thing. iPhone, X-phone, 6-phone, data phone. we were in, where was that? Verizon. We were in Verizon the other day, and he and this guy were talking, and you were buying, what were you buying? An iPad. But isn't it called an iPro? iPad Pro. You see what I mean? I have an iPad. He has an iPad Pro. So what's the difference? Well, gigabytes. Well, what are gigabytes? You know, so and then they're talking about 1 gigabyte, 6 gigabytes, 16 gigabytes, 100, and was it 28 gigabytes? And he's telling me I only need 6 gigabytes. Well, I said, what do you need 64 for? You know, so they said, well, because then we can store things. I said, well, what do you want to store? Yeah, I mean, that doesn't make sense, does it? But it does to you people who understand the computer, see? But to me, I store things in the cupboards. Isn't that true? Yeah. I don't know this stuff, you know? So, I mean, and then here's another one. Shopping network. Now I got a thing that comes on the TV, you can buy now. Oh, and buy what? Buy how? You've pushed that button. Do you know, have any of you bought that way? Well, how do I know I'm going to get the product? You can push a button and buy. I mean, and then last night I was up at 2 o'clock praying. And on the ticker tape it says, thunderstorm warnings in Pine County. And I'm thinking, who in Pine County is awake to read that one? So, I just lots of things in my brain that I think, online payments, well, how do I know they're not going to get into my bank? Well, now I found out my bank gets into my bank. I mean, you have to understand that we are adjusting as fast as we can. But those of you, my little granddaughter came over and said, here, Grandma. And I went, oh, okay. She's 6. See, so she has adjusted to the change and is doing fine. But the rest of us, probably many of you in here, this is a chore. Would you look at your neighbor and say, you'll make it? So when Paul is saying, I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child. And spiritual growth is the same thing. Spiritual growth, we start out as children. And we act like children, we talk like children, we behave like children. I was talking with somebody the other day, and she was sharing with me that she didn't like a particular message because they were too hard on the people. And I'm sitting there thinking, that's because you're not living right. You know? And that's the only reason you wouldn't like it is because your life is not right with God. So you don't want anybody saying anything to you that would make you get right with God because you're not right with God. But that's spiritual growth. You see, I can understand the principle behind giving a message that makes you change compared to a message that makes you feel real good about the fact you're drinking, smoking, running around, wearing loose clothes, hanging out with men or women and messing up your life. See? I understand that, but I'm now at that place of growth where I realize why Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You whitewashed hypocrites." He wasn't nice. And the reason he did that is he was trying to get through that heart that had gotten so hard with religion and tradition and attitude that he was trying to break through the shell. You see, in spiritual growth, you begin to understand what you have to do to make people grow. There's so much out there in the world that says we have to be so nice, we have to be so kind, we have to be so sweet. Well, I'm not against that. I think that's wonderful. But there are times now where we got to preach what sin is. We have to preach what the Word of God says. And people, they don't even know. I mean, somebody I was sharing with, I think, "Did you know this?" And they go, "Uh-huh." I think, my gosh. Didn't your parents ever teach you the Word of God? Didn't they ever tell you about Sunday school? Didn't you ever learn anything in church? No, they never had. And so it's important for us as a church to hold on to what God says and not get into this place where we're holding on to the old and yet not helping people. We do still need to help people. I think I just didn't make any sense there, but you guys figure it out. All right. Change may work and it may not. Either way, it's a process of life. Change happens, you get new jobs. I get more calls from people who leave this church, go to another city and can't find a church like ours. That goes all the way back to Brent Eigenberg, who used to do our youth, called me, I don't know for how many weeks after he left, "Sharon, I can't find a church like ours. I can't find a church like ours." Eventually settled for a church that wasn't like ours, but it was a church. Because I told him, you know what, just find a good place to raise your children and do what you can do, because you know, if there's not one there, there's not one there. But you become responsible then to do what you can do. You know what worship can be like. You know what prayer can be like. You know what things need to be done. And that's what you end up doing. People have trouble with different things. I thought about some of these people getting licensed today. They're trailblazers. Scott and Maria, when we started Young Adults, you didn't know anything about Young Adults, neither did I. I've never pastored a church. My grandpa didn't pastor a church. My dad didn't pastor a church. I don't know anybody in my whole family that ever pastored a church, and neither does Bill. So when we started, we were trailblazing. Well, how do you do this? When I'd read a book, figure it out, and talk to people, and that's what happened. And these people did the same thing. You trailblaze. I couldn't help you because I didn't know either. Now, maybe Scott knew a little more, and Maria, because they were raised more in church, but you know, they had to trailblaze Young Adults. Matt, Michelle trailblazed with Awana and the things you had to deal with. Jeff and Leah, you know, they read books, they talked, told things, they paved a way. Jamie paved a way. So they're not ordinary people that just follow along. They are people who know how to instigate, how to develop, and how to grow. Stephanie, I know she had the background, but boy, I haven't helped her. What do I know about kids' church? I was the school teacher, and I taught special education. But you know what? Special education is not the same as kids' church. Are not the same as, I know certain principles in handling a classroom, I know certain principles in dealing with kids, but I still don't know all the things that are involved in a children's church ministry, even though I've had some experience. So all of them have trailblazed. They have developed their own way and worked it through. I think about all the things that you guys have had to learn in the process of working with people and parents. Number one, forgive. Look at your neighbor and say, that is a fun one. Learning to forgive. I mean, that is, we have to forgive ourselves because maybe we knew we didn't do it quite right. We have to forgive our pastor because they didn't do something. We have to forgive the parents because they maybe didn't speak to us properly or picked on us or didn't like us or said they'll never let their kids in our group again or whatever. So we have to forgive people who don't love us. We have to encourage. Sometimes you just have to encourage yourself. Look at your neighbor and say, encourage yourself once in a while. You know? Remember David? He went through so much, and in the end it says he had to encourage himself. And sometimes you have to encourage yourself to stay with what you're doing. And you have to, I hope, say good things about the new leaders. I pray to God that you're all positive, and you say, that is so good that Jamie's going to take that group. That's so good that Jeff and Lee are going to do this. So good that Matt and Michelle are going to do it. That we encourage them in the change and in the transition, rather than take the devil's side and go, oh, I don't know about this, I don't know about that. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm so glad they're doing this. Yeah. You've heard their hearts today. You've heard the fact that they love what they're doing. And I know they're faithful. I know that there were times I thought for sure Leah would give up. And she hung in there. You know, there were times it was not easy. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 10 and 11. I just think this is interesting. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you have eaten and are full. I don't know if you put the rest of that there, but you probably don't have to. But what the idea behind it is that these people coming into these positions are not saviors. In other words, their job will be builders, to build that which is already built. And it's important we understand that, because they're not coming in to rescue something. They're coming in to build it. And that's why the Lord had said to the Israelites, remember, you didn't build it. Remember, the house wasn't there before, the city wasn't there before, the tree wasn't there before. Years ago, when Bill and I got into ministry, it was one of the scriptures he gave us. You did not build this. Somebody else did. And I remember he put in me an appreciation for all those people who've gone before me, that they have built so much over the years. I appreciate the Catholic Church. They have built so much over the years. The Lutheran Church, the Presbyterian, Methodist, they have built and built and built and built. And now we come along and we build. We all have our part. We all have our place. Now, we may disagree with some of the things they do, but we can honor the fact they have built. And I have to say, with the Catholic Church, they have held on to the thing about abortion since the day it started. And they've not given up, and they've held on to the sanctity of life. So we got to appreciate them for that. They have built and kept that. Jeff and Leah sent me a comment on their vision. And one of the things that Jeff had done is looked at a bunch of books. And the books had said, when you carry on the name of the church in your ministry, it helps build the church. So it's going to be called Resurrection Life Young Adults, Resurrection Life, Yah. I thought, yeah. Anyway, because of the fact that that builds the church. And I thought that was really a very good idea, because it's important that our leaders are building the church and this body of believers rather than their thing. Because when it becomes your thing, it then becomes your identity. It then becomes your security blanket, and then it becomes who you are. And we have to remember who we are, our children of Christ. All right? I'm not who I am because I'm a pastor. I learned a long time ago, when you change your position, your friends change too. You know, Bill was a head football coach at St. Cloud High School. Very popular, very well known, on the radio all the time, television, whatever they asked him to do. They were interviewing, and he was Mr. Popular, okay, for a long time. But then he quit coaching to pass out Bibles. And so the newspaper had a big article about the coach would no longer be throwing footballs, he'd be throwing Bibles. And his identity changed. And so did our friends. All those coaches that were underneath them, only one remained our friend. He wasn't important anymore. He couldn't advance them anymore. He couldn't help them with their job anymore. So remember, your position is not who you are. And we had to understand that things aren't going to change because we move out of something. We are still Bill and Sharon. And it's important for every one of us to understand that you will always be who God made you to be. You don't have to be a position to be something. Look at somebody and say, you are something. You are something. You are really something. Amen? We can't allow fear to come in, because it's different. In transition, there is death and there is life. So there's death of one vision building up another vision. There's a loss and there's a gain. As you could see here today, you could feel the gain. Things are going to happen. New things are going to take place. There's an ending and there's a beginning. There's grief and then there's anticipation of the new. So at the same time, you can feel sad about something you've lost. There also comes along something that you will gain. So sometimes with loss, we have to remember there's gain. And the Bible promises that God turns all things together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So if we lose something, we still gain something. Amen? All right, Sam, stand up. I want you all to look at this handsome dude. I mean, is this a good-looking guy? I pick on him every time I see him. I always go, man, you are handsome. All right? But I want you to know it wasn't too long ago he didn't look that good. I'm picking on him. He's always looked good. But he has changed. He went from here to here. Stand up, honey. Look at John Lucas. Come on over here, buddy. This kid was at my house, and I used to look down at him. I got to stand on the top step. No, look at him. Amen. Look how tall he is. He has changed. You know what else has changed? His voice. You know, he's adjusted to his voice. One time he was coming up the steps, and I heard, Azaria, and I went.
Sammy, too.
Huh? Sammy, too. Oh, Sammy, too. His voice. All right. So with all these changes comes other things. You know, they have to adjust to their new voice. They have to adjust to their new height. The other day I was in the office and my grandson Noah came over to me and I went, and he's up there now. I used to look that way. He's up there. He's gained another inch. He's taller than me. Things change. Life changes. And we have to adjust to it. I asked Aviana and Azaria, they're in Africa now, how are you doing? And, you know, they're adjusting. It's okay, but they don't have a refrigerator. That has to be a challenge. They have a ton of dogs, okay? The dog is sleeping with Aviana. They're going to have to drive an hour to school now, which is a long ways away. And so they're adjusting to so many different things that once were, and Azaria said he's struggling with going to a new school. Of course, he misses John Lucas, but he's struggling with a new school because he has an old school there, but he's going to be going to a Christian school, and now he has to shift over and meet new friends. And Aviana doesn't care because she'll boss them all around, and they'll just be her buddies, you know. But transition can make you or break you. Transition can renew you or destroy you. It can rob you, I said earlier, of your sense of identity and your security, or it can rob you of your sense of control. Sometimes you feel like you have control over something in your life. God changes, and I feel like I just don't feel any control. Transition is a spiritual trial. Can you let go of what you thought God would do to move on to what God is going to do? That's a trial. It's not always easy to let go and move on to the next thing. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. Our goal is to bring life, love, and laughter. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. And you have all done this to people all over the world. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. You have done that. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then you will answer them, saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. What is it saying? It's saying here that we are servants of God, and there is a calling on our life to make a difference in the world, to help the poor, to help the hungry, to lead people to Christ, and to do things to change this world. Not a world we want to pick on, be mean to, or cruel to. It's a world we want to impact. Just like Maria was saying earlier with her cradle cloth, they want to impact the people that are coming there. And believe me, they need impact. So many people out there have no clue what they're getting themselves into, or even the doors that they're opening to the devil, which I'm sure, Scott, you run into that with deliverance. They open up the door to this demonic stuff, and then they wonder why their life is falling apart. We are servants to the Lord first, and leaders second. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are to stay strong in our worth ethics. Titus 2:6 through 8. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works and doctrine. And this is very important for every one of us here, in the world out there, and even in the process of whatever you do here at church. Show integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. That's why that series is so good with Morris, Robert Morris, because it's on the power of the tongue. 1 Chronicles 28:9-10, it says that we are to know our God, and you can't serve him unless you know him. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father, and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts, nobody's exempt, and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. These ladies and gentlemen that are going to be prayed for today have been called on by God to build a house. They're called on to be devoted to the Lord. Mark 1:35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out, departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. I love my grandchildren, and I love my daughter. I love my family. But I have to tell you, I have so loved this week that I have quiet time to pray. You know, because I'd be in the room talking to the Lord and somebody would, "Can you do this, Grandma? Can you help me with this, Grandma? I want to color by you, Grandma. Is that okay?" And now I go in the room and it's a little different. Nobody's there. But I have Jesus all to myself. And I love it. I love it. Don't tell them I said that, but I love it. Those who are leaders need to be strong in their commitment to him. Colossians 3:22-25. I skipped one. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus. You always know if you're doing it for God, if you have to have recognition, you're not doing it for God. If you're doing it for God, you don't have to have anybody say anything. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Amen? So we stand strong in his grace. Matthew 20, we can't exalt ourselves, we have to exalt him. And I'm almost done here, folks. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "Do you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them? Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant." In other words, as we serve, we can't be tyrants. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Amen. So these people today that are being licensed are giving their life to Christ. They're taking another step forward. They're transitioning out of one area to a new area, or they're keeping going like Stephanie, that which has already been built. So if those people who are being licensed today would come up, let me have those names. Jeff Proctor is receiving a Christian Workers. Leah Proctor is moving from Christian Worker to License. Stephanie Roberts receiving a licensed. How long have you been Christian Worker, Stephanie? 2 or 3 years. And Jamie Kruschke, Christian Worker, how many years? 4 or 5 years. So they're moving from one licensing position to another. Amen? And it's important that you understand that, because I'm going to read to you what requirements are of these people. A Christian Worker are to continue their education and make sure they're in the Word of God growing. They're tithing. It's a biblical required and essential. They're to offer their alms and their offerings when God calls. They're to take responsibility for their own circumstances and issues. When they have an issue, like an offense, misunderstanding, they need to go to the appropriate person to resolve it. They are to implement, invest, whether in a position of support or leadership. They're expected to develop, maintain, and bear fruit in whatever department or branch of ministry they are involved. What happens with a Christian Worker is we watch them, sometimes 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, because the next step gives more responsibility. And not that we haven't watched them before that, but when you begin to feel they're called, that's a different story than just serving in the capacity of serving the church. A calling is coming from the Lord. And that's what will happen here. For you, Jeff, you'll be able to perform communion, water baptisms, church ceremonies as approved by the pastors. Wedding and funerals will not come yet, but in time when you get your license, it will. You're able to visit hospitals as a minister. You get to park free. You're able to visit prisons as a minister. You attend licensed ministers' meetings, and you're recognized as a minister in training. Those who are ordained, we recognize you have a full calling on your life. In other words, you're not somebody who won't continue on. Another one day you could go full-time into ministry is what it is. So licensing goes right before ordination. You are asked to faithfully attend church. You're asked to pay your tithe, your offerings, and alms. Tithe goes to the local church you attend. You study to show yourself approved. You honor and respect the word. You are leading others. You are to be ready in season and out. You are to respect and honor all people. Do not favor the rich, reject the poor. Never degrade your leaders, yourself, your spouse, your children, or others. Do not gossip, slander, or listen to gossip about others or other ministries publicly or privately. You are the mouthpiece of the ministry, and you will reap what you sow. Words bring life or death. We do not want to reap death. We want to sow and reap life. If in sin or being tormented by sin, seek help immediately. You are not invincible, and the devil is deceitful. And let me tell you, now that you're moving to another level of ministry, be aware you could have some warfare that can occur. You learn to rise above your circumstances, your pain, your hurt, and anger. Allow no bitterness, heaviness, pity, frustration, or offense to come out in your preaching and or your teaching. And that's very important when you preach to the kids or whoever you're preaching to. You do not allow your frustration, your anger to come out of your mouth. I'll tell you how you'll know if you did. After the service, you won't feel good. You'll feel bad. You'll sense in your spirit you've grieved the Holy Spirit. So you learn to bite your tongue and not say sometimes what you'd like to say. I've failed at this a few times, and I get home and I say, oh, God, forgive me, I blew it. I was mad, and I said it in anger, and that is not how you should preach, never in anger. Watch the I statements. Be careful how much you talk about yourself. You are no longer inadequate. The anointing qualifies you. You do not need to prove anything. Give God all the glory. Be yourself. Do not try to imitate others. You will be different than the persons that preceded you or came before you or after you. You are you, and you have your own gifting. You make optimism a way of life. See, life is already won, and answers, direction, and provision is already there. Now, I'm not saying everything that's on this sheet, but I'm going through it. Act like a son and daughter of the king, not a slave. Your father, the king, called you, and you do his will. You trust his timing and know that he provides. You come to the church prepared to minister, not to get ministry. I think you guys already know that, but that is the truth when you're in ministry. If you come to church to get ministry, you've already failed ministry. You come to church to be available to minister to others. Not that there won't be times you'll need it, but your whole purpose in existence now is to help the others. Check your own motives, attitudes, and reasoning. Welcome challenges and chastening. Allow others to share with you their perceptions of you and your ministry. And that's part of growing up, where people can tell you they disagree and you can receive it and not be upset. You can handle it. Remain respectful of authority. Speak and act properly to those in authority over you. Think, speak, and act honorably toward the church and your leaders. Remember, you have influential power. People are watching, following, and listening to you. Do not abuse your power. If someone comes to you with a complaint about someone else, send them to that person. If you have a complaint, look at yourself first to see where your responsibility lies and take it. Then, if necessary, take it to the person you need to take it to. Read and hear the measure of wisdom in James 3:16 and through 18, and it talks about strife, contention, jealousy, selfish ambition. Read and hear the measure of wisdom in it. Serve the Lord wholeheartedly. Be humble and wise. Pride and arrogance are always around to stunt your growth. Self-praise is deceitful and unrewarding. Condemnation whispers in your ear to rob your joy and kill your confidence. I've always had the principle of Philippians 4:8, where whatever is pure, lovely, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruit, that's what I'm going to think. If I get any other form of thought, never came from God. And that thought gets kicked out. I only take the thought that is pure, reasonable, full of mercy, and good fruit. Be humble and wise. Holy Spirit is always there to show you the way. So you'll get copies of these, all right, so that you understand what you are committing to. So with all of that said, you have been chosen to lead our youth and young adults. This is a solemn responsibility you've been asked to undertake. We believe in you. We trust you. And we ask that you do your very best. This is a question for you to respond to, I promise. Will you be loyal and zealous servants of the church? Okay. Will you be diligent in preparation and attendance? And will you conduct yourself with honor? Amen. That's all we can ask. Amen. All right. So if I got oil over here, we want to pray for them. Could I have all the licensed ministers come up?